97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, and so glad you're able to join us this weekend. I'm Mark Cox, and along with my host, Bo Matthews, my co-host, and Carl Middleman, our producer in here.
Hello.
Having a great time. What are we listening to, Carl?
Martha and the Vandellas, Heat Wave, because it is actually the heat wave is actually broken.
Isn't that nice? I hope people have found a reason to get outdoors this weekend.
And one of the geniuses that wrote this song just passed away this weekend.
Oh.
The Holland Dozer Holland, they wrote all the hits for the Supremes and the Four Tops. And it's a loss because they were with Motown. If you know a Motown song, these three guys probably wrote it.
Wow.
It is a loss, but you know, how about recognizing their contribution to us dancing and having a good time?
Yeah.
I did have we have a splash pool, you know, something about, you know, just the above ground, you know, splash pool, we call it. And it like deflated, lost half the water. So I had to, you know, figure out that situation. And I just hope it gets warm enough I can use it again, because it really hasn't been warm enough for that.
I'm not complaining, man. I stepped outside one morning this week and it was like 63 degrees and it was a shock to the system. And
I loved it too.
Don't get me wrong.
And you wore a jacket to work.
And I'll be complaining when it's 12 degrees in about 5 months. So don't worry. Yeah.
That was my operation this week of getting outdoors. I did want to share with you, you know, because when you and I, when you've shared stories of you getting a new firearm when you went to Alaska or whatever, I mean,
right.
it's exciting for the gun enthusiast, for shooting sports and things like that, and the self-protection. Mark, I've got a friend. She is, you know what? I won't name her, so I'll tell you. She's 70, bought her first firearm.
First one.
And it's her first one. And I get to do the honors of bringing her to the range. And so we've been texting back and forth. This is my buddy's, one of my best friend's girl. And she is like, I don't know. It's amazing what a young spirit she is. And she's like, you know, Thelma and Louise and John Wayne all tied up into one. And she's so excited to get out to the range. But until we get there, and it's going to be soon, I've been telling her, you know, these are some things you can do. You can practice pulling it. You can practice pulling. You can practice pulling the trigger. And so you'll appreciate this. So just this week, I said, well, you know, if you're at a pretty good day, if you're like, you know, 10 feet from your TV, 15 feet from your TV, that's really a normal range to practice on for self-defense, because a lot of those situations happen within 21 feet or less.
Yes.
I said, you could just, you know, look at your TV. They got a big screen TV like most Americans. I said, you can use your firearm and aim at that TV and at the heads just to kind of get a feel for that. And she goes, oh, let me turn it over to the news. I was like, oh boy.
I love it. Now, that could be perceived as a threat, Bo. You got to be careful these days, right?
Well, no, it's practice. It's practice.
It's practice. So what kind of gun did she buy?
She bought a Taurus 38. And it's a black finish. It's, you know, got a black finish on it. It's beautiful. And she's a pretty tall woman. And I don't know. She's just really excited. She says, as soon as it went into my hand, she says, I knew this was the one. Again, she hasn't fired it yet. But as soon as she does, I think she's going to be a boss at it, because it's one of those things. You know, it's like a classic car owner. You want to make it the way you want. You want to drive it the way you want to drive it. And so I'm going to be taking her out to the range. And I've already given her some basic instruction. Anything that I might have forgot to tell her?
Never fire it in anger. I'm just kidding. So I don't know.
Treat every weapon as it's loaded.
Exactly.
Yes.
Make sure it's always pointed downrange. I mean, that's what they're going to tell you. Maybe what she probably needs to do, and it's good that she's got a good friend like you who's familiar with firearms. But, you know, my guys over at the range will always talk to me about their, like, beginning firearms courses. And they have special courses just designed for women. So they can go into this class and they don't feel intimidated. And there aren't guys in there that think they know it all and all this stuff. They can start with basic questions. And they fill those classes up all the time. So that may be a good idea for her.
Absolutely. And now here's a rhetorical, well, not a rhetorical, no, it's an actual question. How many shells do you think needs to be pumped through a firearm to be comfortable with it. You know what I'm saying? Like when you get a brand new firearm, how many shells do you, how many bullets do you want to shoot before you think you are going to be excellent with that
you
firearm?
You know, I would think that it's not a matter of how many boxes of ammo you put through it, but how often you go to the range to practice with it when you first get it. Because I don't know if going once and putting three boxes of ammo through it is enough to get you comfortable, but I would say going a couple of times a month, maybe, or three or four times a month, maybe once a week for the first couple of months that you own it, then you're going to, if you've never owned a firearm before, you've never owned a pistol or a handgun, that probably helps get you comfortable with it more so than the number of rounds you fire through it, right? That repetitive action, not being afraid of, you know, wincing when you're about to fire it because you're expecting the recoil, whatever the case may be. I just think you have to do that, and you have to go, just like somebody told me one time, if you decide to carry concealed, you need to carry it so often that you don't even know it's there. Because you're when you first start carrying, you're subconscious of it. You're always reaching back, making sure it's there, or pulling up your pants, or whatever the case may be. You need to get to the point where if you're going to carry, you feel naked if it's not back there, but that it's so you're so comfortable with it. So I would think it'd be the same way with a beginner with a firearm.
Okay.
Repetitive.
Well, okay. So
going, get her to go with you every couple of weeks, and until she's very comfortable with all the rules and what you do. And I think that's my best advice.
Absolutely. And as far as shooting sports and self defense, I think it's important to get out like a bowling team. You want to do it as often as you can. So let me ask you just randomly, how many shots do you run through your gun when you go to the range? Do you do one box? Do you do 100?
It depends on what I'm doing that day, but probably a box and a half, something like that. I'll be honest with you, when ammunition was hard to get and more expensive, I kind of whittled myself down to not using more than a box, just because I didn't want to run through what I had at home or spend too much when I go to shoot. That's eased up a little bit these days. You can find ammo a little more affordably. And 38 ammo, if that's what she's got, has always been among the most affordable of all of them.
Yeah, I'm excited to get her started, and because she's a hiker, she hikes in the woods, and she says she's been just seeing different, or more often she's comes into contact with people when she's walking, or hiking, and this has really pushed her to because she gets scared, and once you get scared, you want to do something.
Is she going to get a CCW?
You know what? We haven't talked about that.
I would highly recommend that training. She should go through that.
Yeah, the training's good. Yeah. My training's going to be good.
Well, of course it is, but
what the heck, man?
Get a certified trainer to put her through one of those CCW courses.
She probably will move towards that. Absolutely.
Good. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk Second Amendment. We got Aaron Doerr from the Missouri Firearms Coalition on a little later. They were very active in this latest primary here in Missouri. We're going to talk more about what's coming up for this fall, the next legislative session, and what you need to be looking for when you're questioning these politicians. And then, before we get to that, we're going to talk barbecue. If you're not hungry now, you will be by the time we finish this segment. You think, Bo?
Did you call it barbecue?
Barbecue. I love some barbecue.
Where are you from, boy?
I love barbecue. I do. Oh, I love it. The South. I'm from the South.
I think I might have barbecue stain on this t-shirt, actually, that I'm wearing. That's my answer.
Yeah. Hey, that's all coming up on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. We'll be right back. Gotta start off with a tearjerker there for this segment. Is that right, Carl Middleton?
I'm sorry, but one of my first crushes as a child.
How about you, Bo?
I have a tear in my eye. This has just saddened me so much. And we ended up watching a John Travolta movie last night, and it was horrible. I don't even remember what the name
but
was.
But she wasn't.
You watched the wrong one.
I did. No, she. Oh my gosh, come on. I heard you actually, Mark, talking about about the Farrah Fawcett poster and the Sandy poster
right.
from Greece. Every kid had that. Every kid had that.
Yeah.
That's the spandex I like to see. Spandex at Walmart, not so much.
And I did.
But Bo, she started off as a country music artist.
Yeah.
Hello. 30 some years in the business. I know.
But here's what I didn't know till I was this many years old this week. I didn't realize that when she played Sandy in Greece, she was 29 years old. She was almost 30.
Well, Stocker
when
Channing
she did
was
that
like
in
50. 78.
Well, she wasn't that old. Come
on. No, but Stocker Channing was not young either.
I know, but she pulled it off perfectly. She just looked so young and smoking hot. I mean, she was. There's no way else to put it. But anyway, good.
And now you're going to see all the networks running. You're going to see Grease reruns all over the place, like they do when a star kicks the bucket. And it is sad. She was so sweet and just beautiful. Now, was it her or Suzanne Somers that had the husband that went missing?
That was her.
Olivia Newton-John. That was her.
And it wasn't a husband. It was just a boyfriend. They never got married.
But he went missing for like years. Then he was like seen in Spain or something.
Mexico.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's go with that story.
Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Oh, we're doing a show.
Let's talk about the Great Outdoors. And speaking of Greece, do you enjoy grilling?
Oh, boom. That's a mic drop.
You enjoy grilling, Bo? Do you grill much?
As 12 months a year, as often as I can.
That's awesome. I don't do it as often as I used to. I'll admit that. But I enjoy doing it. And what I appreciate the most are people who are passionate about it. Because my brother-in-law fits that category. He's got the smoker and all that stuff. Me, not so much. But when I can do something extra when I'm grilling that makes it taste like I've gone that extra step, see, that helps me. That's a shortcut for me. And we're joined this morning by a couple of guys that can help us out with that. Aaron Kirchner and Josh Anderson are with Grill Heads. And I'm telling you what, if you haven't tried these rubs, they're available in St. Louis now and just in time for the summer barbecue traditions and all that. So, Aaron and Josh, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Hey, guys. Happy to be here.
Yeah, well, it's great to get you on. I mean, you heard me say it there. I mean, I'm always looking for something that's going to make me seem like a better griller, a better cook than I am.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a common thing we run into. From ourselves or wives or anybody, you know, just trying to take that meal to the next level and add a little flavor to it.
You know, Aaron, I want to ask you a question. Your preferred grilling method, are you a gas guy, a briquettes guy, or a big green egg guy?
So it's funny you ask. There's actually a little bit of a stigma right now on gas grills. I have two different grills. I have a mini egg that takes lump charcoal. And then Josh and I both have a two-year-old, so I also have a gas grill that if time's pressed and the two-year-old's going nuts, we got to get the meal ready however we can. So it really depends on the day and the amount of time that we have.
Yeah, that's kind of been me. I need to get it done usually in a hurry, and you know I'm not going to be up at 3 a.m. with the electronic thermometer telling me that the smoker temperature has gotten too low. That's not how I tend to do things. So maybe Josh, maybe you can kind of tell us how this got started, because you guys felt that maybe there was a better way out there when it came to rubs than what you were finding on the market currently.
Yeah, for sure. You know, Aaron and I went to high school together. We've known each other forever. You know, I graduated college way back, feels like forever ago now, but we've been talking about starting a business, and we're both super passionate about barbecue, obviously. And, you know, we're kind of looking at all the rubs and everything that's out there right now. And, you know, everybody has their own flavor profile and what they like. So we just kind of thought of three that we thought would be enjoyable and we thought our friends and family would like, and honestly just kind of went from there and started out that way.
Yeah, so you practiced, I'm assuming, on your family and your friends until you perfected it, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. We went through several renditions of this. I'm sure my wife is glad that we actually perfected it finally instead of trying some of the other concoctions we put together. So.
Well, Aaron, I want to ask you: can we just be honest here? As a matter of fact, all of us here in this room, as we're talking about grill heads, when it comes to grilling. My wife is so appreciative that I'm handling the grilling part of it. Are your wives the same, or they're, because I mean, my wife, like, well, thanks for cooking your own dinner. And I'm like, yes, I did. Mark, Do you get that same feeling, or is it just another part of the dinner that you got to put together?
No, well, I'll just be completely honest here. My wife would prefer to handle the grilling because she thinks I overcook the meat. Because I'm more likely to like something closer to medium well, and she and my son prefer it closer to medium, and they always accuse me of overcooking things. So I don't fall in that category.
You know what? And there is something about doing a medium or medium rare. There is a flavor of just the meat itself that is so fantastic. But in the last couple of years, I've been discovering different rubs as well. And guys, maybe you can speak to that. I saw you had an OMG, oh my garlic. I cannot wait to try that. It does raise the level of your barbecue from the meat flavor, which is awesome. But then when you accentuate it with a great rub like you guys are offering, This is really next level stuff, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's funny you phrase it that way. So the meat obviously is going to have a little bit of flavor. Each of ours, they have a different flavor profile, and they're designed to bring out that flavor. And then let's just say you're cooking a steak with, whether it's the OMG or our Jack of All Rubs, both are incredible on a steak. They're also going to help get a little bit of a crust as you cook that. So crust on the outside, and then whatever finish you want on the inside. Not overpowering flavor, so you're still going to taste the meat. Everything we did here was very meticulous, so that we got, you know, the traditional barbecue flavors, the salt, the pepper, the honey, paprika, whatever that is. But then, you know, eat with your eyes first, and then the flavor's going to follow. And I think we hit the nail on the head on all three of the rubs.
Yeah, my stomach just started growling right then. And it dawned on me that, Carl, where you failed us is that Aaron and Josh should have been in studio with some examples of these rubs instead of on the phone.
They sent us the rubs.
Well, I know that. I haven't had a chance to use them yet, though, and that's why I'm telling you that. So anyway,
is there any aspirations of being in competitions at all, guys? Josh, how about you?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's the next, you know, potentially get out there. The more people that try it, the more people like it, obviously. So, you know, that'd be a good way to kind of spread the word a little bit. And that was one of our goals this year, is to get into a couple competitions. We haven't met that goal yet, but you know, that might be in 2023, really.
Well, let's talk about, Aaron, talk about the three rubs then that you sent us examples of. The OMG was the first one. That's the one with garlic, but there are a couple of others, and they're for different types of meat that you're grilling?
Correct. So let's say you walk in Ace Hardware, you walk to the rub wall, you probably have 200 different variations of rubs. And this kind of goes back to why we started. I bought a grill. We didn't have any of the supplies. I was spending a ton of money. My wife is like, all right, Aaron, you got to get this under control. You can't go to Ace every week or Home Depot and buy all this stuff. So no matter what you're cooking, there's a few basic things you want. So we knew we needed a garlic rub. Universal, goes on anything. I had it on scrambled eggs this morning, had it on veggies last night. Incredible on meat. That's kind of an all-purpose rub. The queen bee, there's a huge market for a honey-based dry rub. There's a few on the market today that have done a really nice job, you know, brands that have, you know, legacy brands that have been out forever. They lacked a little bit of color that I wanted. They lacked a little bit of flavor that Josh and I wanted. I think we have the best honey-based dry rub on the market right now in queen bee, and everybody that tries it, they come back with pictures and, you know, just absolutely raving reviews. And then Jack of All Rubs, Jack of All Trades, it's our all-purpose. It doesn't matter what you use it on. It's going to be really, really good. Steak, pork, you name it, it's outstanding. So with these three, we're confident that no matter what you're cooking, you could use any one of these, and you're going to be successful with it. And whoever you cook for, they're going to say, wow, this is really good. You really hit the nail on the head, which, you know, everybody loves that feeling. There's nothing better.
I'll be honest with you guys. I've never heard of a honey-based rub. So the queen bee dry rub is right up my alley because I have a sweet tooth, especially when I'm cooking like a pork steak or even pork chops, mostly pork. I want something sweet on that. You know, the one thing I just can't get over is really grilling fish on the grill. What would be the best out of your selections for fish? I'm not a big fan of it, but
If you're going to do salmon, queen bee is really good. It's going to add a little bit of that candy coating, that sweet taste you just mentioned. Any kind of a whitefish, our OMG, the garlic rub, every day of the week, it's outstanding.
Wow. Well, it sounds...
and if you throw it on a cedar plank on a grill to get a little bit of added smoke flavor, just outstanding.
There I am. A friend of mine just went salmon fishing, and whenever somebody tells me they've gone up north somewhere to catch salmon, I don't even want to know what the actual price per pound must be by the time you average it out. But he did offer me some, and I've told him I'm going to take him up on it. So I'm going to try some of your OMG rub on that when I grill it for sure. Let's talk about the giveaway, because obviously people have an opportunity if they go to a Schnucks, correct, which is where a lot of your rubs are found, correct?
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, so you're doing the Grillhead Summer Giveaway right now. Josh, why don't you tell people what they can win?
Yeah, so if you go to Schnucks and buy one of our, so we have OMG and Queen Bee currently in Schnucks in the locals rack. So if you go there, purchase one. No purchase necessary as well. You can read the terms of service online. But if you enter, you can get a 22-inch Traeger, an Arctic cooler, all of our suite of rubs, and then we have some grilling supply, our tools as well, some gloves and some cloths. It's like a $670 package for the winter.
Oh, outstanding.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you guys, too. Last time we got together with some friends last weekend, we were talking about grilling. They saw my grill, and I had grilled chicken quarters. Chicken thighs, and my gas grill turned into an inferno. Flames 4 feet high. And our friend, she said, oh, we bought this indoor grill. Not that we're here to talk about grills, but have you experienced your spices on an indoor grill, which are smokeless, and they're wonderful, and they're easy to, you know, pack away? Any experience with that?
No.
I did try some stuff on some air fryer the other day, which was actually really good. I know it's not an indoor grill, but that turned out well. Yeah. I did some steak fajitas on the air fryer.
Outstanding.
And you didn't invite us.
Yeah, next time we're having you in the studio. Where's your tell us how people can get a hold of you. Is it grillheadsupply.com?
Yeah, so we're grillheadsupply.com, started as a COVID business, all online. We are in every local Schnuck, so all 83 stores, St. Louis, Illinois, and Central Missouri, LeGrand's, two wine and cheese places, and then Westlake Hardware, Brenneke Hardware, and Bridgeton. So numerous retail locations as well as online.
Well, it sounds delicious. I've got it at home, just waiting maybe for this weekend to try for the first time. So I hope people get a chance to do that. Listen, Aaron Kirchner, Josh Anderson, thank you both so much. And hopefully people will go online or go to the store and enter your summer giveaway. I'd love to have a Traeger. Maybe I'll go try that. Am I eligible, by the way?
Yeah, sure. I'd enter it. Yeah.
Absolutely. There you go.
By the way, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, thank you guys for having us on, and hopefully your wives are pleased with something you cook up for them with the rubs.
All that work you're doing, absolutely. I do want to point out on your website, grillheadsupply.com, you have things that you just can't get anywhere, like the meat claws and the gloves. You for grill aficionados, definitely look for just more than their rubs on their website, and good luck to you guys.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, gentlemen.
You bet. Yep.
Have a great day.
Take care. We appreciate that. Grillheadsupply.com. Check them out online. I can't wait to taste it.
Next summer, they'll be in.
Making you look good to your wife or significant other. How about that?
I'll bring the indoor grill. We could do it right in the studio.
Wow. I think we got a plan. No doubt about it. Hey, let's get to the Second Amendment portion of this. Our friend Aaron Dorr from the Missouri Firearms Coalition coming in here. They did some endorsements during the primary. We'll find out what he's got planned when we get back. We'll be right back.
It is Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors with Mark Cox. I'm Bo Matthews. Carl Middleman is here as well as our executive producer.
Pew, pew.
I've been waiting for that all week long. And this segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory. If you have never been, go to DePere. It's on Manchester Road next to the tennis store. You will see the tennis store before you see Razorback, but they're in the same plaza. And at Razorback Armory, it is AR August. I actually... fought for the idea to call it Argus, but they said I sounded too much like a pirate. It's AR August. Purchase a new AR and customize your existing AR. Parts, accessories, silencers, make your AR unique to you and how you want it to look and feel and perform. Check them out at RazorbackArmory.com for details and directions to get there. Tell them I said hello when you go to Razorback Armory.
I'll bet that's going to be a huge month for them.
Well, if it was August, it would be. It would be just that much bigger. Anyway, so with the grill guys, that's what they should have called themselves. But no, the grill heads were the part of the outdoor, the great outdoors part of the show. And this is the Second Amendment part of the show. We welcome into the show Missouri Firearms Coalition guy, Aaron Doerr. Aaron, how are you? Welcome back to the show.
Yeah, I'm doing good, guys. Thanks a lot for the time.
We always appreciate it and want to talk about the hot buttons of Second Amendment right now, because this is a huge time for gun support, Second Amendment supporters, as we approach the midterms. Tell us what we should do if those that are listening do in fact support the Second Amendment.
Well, it certainly is a hot time right now, both here in Missouri and at the federal level. Obviously, all eyes right now are on the so-called assault weapons ban that Pelosi passed through the House just in the last week or so. And the question on everyone's mind right now is, are there enough votes in the Senate to get this done? And we're going to see what happens in that fight later on this fall. But it's really important for gun owners to figure out where these candidates stand. We just got stabbed in the back by Roy Blunt, 2 months ago, helping Joe Biden pass this massive gun control bill.
Right.
And so the time to trust party labels is long since passed. That's becoming more obvious now to many people. And so talking to the candidates, pushing them hard how they would vote on gun rights issues, and figuring out where they actually stand is critical going forward.
Well, it is, Aaron. Mark Cox here. You can see a candidate claim to have a certain rating by a gun rights organization, but at the end of the day, look at Blunt. I mean, he supported this legislation, which is going to, I don't even know how many hundreds of millions or billions of dollars they dedicated to trying to encourage more red flag laws in states across the country. Your number one litmus test for any new law like that should be, tell me the difference it would have made in any of these recent mass shootings. And it wouldn't have.
Yeah, and Roy Blunt is emblematic of this rhino swamp infestation we have right now in D.C. and in Jeff City, with Republicans who they'll say whatever it takes to get elected, and that once they're in office, they have no problem stabbing us in the back. The good news here in Missouri is that the Missouri Firearms Coalition members continue to speak very loudly every 2 years in the primaries. Eric Greitens found that out the hard way last week. You got rhinos like Bill White in the state Senate who found that out the hard way last week. The word's getting out amongst the rhino class here in Missouri that if you mess around with gun rights, you're going to pay a price in the primaries.
You know, I saw a couple of your posts about that during the election online that you had recorded, and you were calling some of these guys out for what they either tried to do to SAPA or what they were trying to do to undermine it, correct?
Yeah, exactly. We have Republicans, we had Republicans as early as this session, this year in January, who were talking about repealing the teeth, the heart and soul of Missouri's SAPA legislation. I believe that fight has gone away now because everyone saw what happened to the weak rhinos who would not support SAPA, again, in these most recent primaries. But again, there was a time when gun owners, I think, allowed themselves to believe that as long as the person claimed to be a Republican, that was good enough. The good news for us, both in Missouri and nationally, is that for the younger generation of Second Amendment supporters does not have that handicap. We understand that party labels in a red state just don't matter a whole lot. The question is, what do their votes look like? What do their actions look like? And we'll make them pay a price. Party be damned.
Good.
Aaron Doerr is our guest from Missouri Firearms Coalition. And Aaron, I want you to know that I did reach out. You know how we always say on this program, make sure you get a hold of your legislatures, your legislators, and reach out to them, tell them how you feel. And I actually reached out to Blaine Lutkemeyer, And his response was definitely, in support of, the H.R. 1808 and the assault weapons ban of 2021, of that. And he does not support, banning anything. And so when you're looking at a rhino, do you believe the carbon, the form letter that they send out to the constituents? Do you trust that, or what can people do to make sure that their voice is heard and that the response is what you want?
Well, I think what we're seeing right now in Missouri for gun owners is Eric Schmidt, as kind of the new standard when it comes to gun rights, because everybody can say that they're pro-gun in a form letter. The question we want to see is, what are you doing offensively to actually fight for us? And we've seen Eric Schmidt, fight to defend SEPA in court, fight to keep the FBI out of our concealed carry records, all these things that he has done. And that's kind of the new standard going forward. So whether it's Luke DeMeyer or Ann Wagner or anybody else, it's like, okay, that's good that you won't vote for an assault weapons ban, but when are you going to go on the attack? When will you lead the fight for gun rights? What gun bills are you sponsoring? What floor speeches have you given? Where are you leading the fight for gun rights? This is not a purple state. It's Missouri. And so simply not voting for gun control is not sufficient anymore. We want folks to lead in the fight for gun rights. And if they won't, we're not going to forget that going forward.
Aaron, let's talk for a moment about what you brought up there with Eric Schmidt. I was reading that letter, in fact, just this morning, that he sent to Christopher Wray of the FBI. And I'll quickly go through just a little bit of it for people who aren't familiar with it. So Eric Schmidt writing this, it's come to my attention the FBI has informed several Missouri County sheriffs are going to be showing up in August to audit CCW permit holder records. The FBI states that includes an on-site review of your concealed carry weapons permits. And Eric Schmidt says, let me make it perfectly clear, allowing federal agents from the FBI to have access to records of Missourians who have a permit to carry a concealed weapon violates Missouri law and infringes on our Second Amendment rights. And he promises to go to court if that's what's necessary to prevent this from happening. Where does this stand now?
Well, it's kind of this grudge match between the DOJ and the state of Missouri. This is not happening just in a vacuum. The DOJ and the White House is livid with Missouri because we passed SEPA legislation last year. And we have told the feds that we're not going to let you use our law enforcement resources to enforce your federal gun control agenda. Now, magically, a couple months later, while we're still in the court process on this, they want to come into Missouri and just randomly go through our concealed carry records. I think that Schmidt's doing the right thing by telling the FBI to pound sand. And we're going to have to wait and see what happens now. It's kind of this grudge match between Missouri and the DOJ. But this is what we need to see from Republicans, from pro-gun legislators at all levels of government going forward. We cannot sit back and be passively
It is Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors with Mark Cox. I'm Bo Matthews. Carl Middleman is here, as well as our executive producer.
Pew, pew.
I've been waiting for that all week long. And this segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory. If you have never been, go to DePere. It's on Manchester Road next to the tennis store. You will see the tennis store before you see Razorback, but they're in the same plaza. And at Razorback Armory, it is AR August. I actually fought for the idea to call it Argust, but they said I sounded too much like a pirate. So it's AR August. Purchase a new AR and customize your existing AR. Parts, accessories, silencers, make your AR unique to you and how you want it to look and feel and perform. Check them out at RazorbackArmory.com for details and directions to get there. Tell them I said hello when you go to Razorback Armory.
I'll bet that's going to be a huge month for them.
Well, if it was Argust, it would be. It would be just that much bigger. Anyway, so with the grill guys, that's what they should have called themselves. But no, the grill heads were the part of the outdoor, the great outdoors part of the show. And this is the Second Amendment part of the show. We welcome into the show Missouri Firearms Coalition guy, Aaron Dorr. Aaron, how are you? Welcome back to the show.
Yeah, I'm doing good, guys. Thanks a lot for the time.
We always appreciate it, and want to talk about the hot buttons of Second Amendment right now, because this is a huge time for gun support, Second Amendment supporters, as we approach the midterms. Tell us what we should do if those that are listening do in fact support the Second Amendment.
Well, it certainly is a hot time right now, both here in Missouri and at the federal level. Obviously, all eyes right now are on the so-called assault weapons ban that Pelosi passed through the House just in the last week or so. And the question on everyone's mind right now is, are there enough votes in the Senate to get this done? And we're going to see what happens in that fight later on this fall. But it's really important for gun owners to figure out where these candidates stand. We just got stabbed in the back by Roy Blunt, 2 months ago, helping Joe Biden pass this massive gun control bill.
Right.
And so the time to trust party labels is long since passed. That's becoming more obvious now to many people. And so talking to the candidates, pushing them hard how they would vote on gun rights issues, and figuring out where they actually stand is critical going forward.
Well, it is, Aaron. Mark Cox here. You know, you can see a candidate claim to have a certain rating by a gun rights organization, but at the end of the day, look at Blunt. I mean, he supported this legislation, which is going to, I don't even know how many hundreds of millions or billions of dollars they dedicated to trying to encourage more red flag laws in states across the country. Your number one litmus test for any new law like that should be, tell me the difference it would have made in any of these recent mass shootings. And it wouldn't have.
Yeah, and Roy Blunt is emblematic of this rhino swamp infestation we have right now in D.C. and in Jeff City, with Republicans who will say whatever it takes to get elected, and that once they're in office, they have no problem stabbing us in the back. The good news here in Missouri is that the Missouri Firearms Coalition members continue to speak very loudly every 2 years in the primaries. You know, Eric Greitens found that out the hard way last week. You got rhinos like Bill White in the state Senate who found that out the hard way last week. The word's getting out amongst the rhino class here in Missouri that if you mess around with gun rights, you're going to pay a price in the primaries.
You know, I saw a couple of your posts about that during the election online that you had recorded, and you were calling some of these guys out for what they either tried to do to SAPA or what they were trying to do to undermine it, correct?
Yeah, exactly. We have Republicans, we had Republicans as early as this session, this year in January, who are talking about repealing the teeth, the heart and soul of Missouri's SAPA legislation. I believe that fight has gone away now because everyone saw what happened to the weak rhinos who would not support SAPA again in these most recent primaries. But again, there was a time when gun owners, I think, allowed themselves to believe that as long as the person claimed to be a Republican, that was good enough. The good news for us, both in Missouri and nationally, is that for the younger generation of Second Amendment supporters does not have that handicap. We understand that party labels in a red state just don't matter a whole lot. The question is, what do their votes look like? What are their actions look like? And we'll make them pay a price. Party be damned.
Good.
Aaron Doerr is our guest from Missouri Firearms Coalition. And Aaron, I want you to know that I did reach out. You know how we always say on this program, make sure you get a hold of your legislatures, your legislators, and, reach out to them, tell them how you feel. And I actually reached out to Blaine Lutkemeyer, and his response was definitely, in support of, the H.R. 1808 and the assault weapons ban of 2021, of that. And he does not support, banning anything. And so when you're looking at a rhino, do you believe the carbon, the form letter that they send out to the constituents? Do you trust that, or what can people do to make sure that their voice is heard and that the response is what you want?
Well, I think what we're seeing right now in Missouri for gun owners is Eric Schmidt, as kind of the new standard when it comes to gun rights, because everybody can say that they're pro-gun in a form letter. The question we want to see is, what are you doing offensively to actually fight for us? And we've seen Eric Schmidt, fight to defend SAPA in court. you know, fight to keep the FBI out of our concealed carry records, all these things that he has done. And that's kind of the new standard going forward. So whether it's Luke DeMeyer or Ann Wagner or anybody else, it's like, okay, that's good that you won't vote for an assault weapons ban, but when are you going to go on the attack? When will you lead the fight for gun rights? What gun bills are you sponsoring? What floor speeches have you given? Where are you leading the fight for gun rights? This is not a purple state. It's Missouri. And so simply not voting for gun control is not sufficient anymore. We want folks to lead in the fight for gun rights. And if they won't, we're not going to forget that going forward.
You know, Aaron, let's talk for a moment about what you brought up there with Eric Schmidt. I was reading that letter, in fact, just this morning, that he sent to Christopher Wray of the FBI. And I'll quickly go through just a little bit of it for people who aren't familiar with it. So Eric Schmidt writing this, it's come to my attention the FBI has informed several Missouri County sheriffs are going to be showing up in August to audit CCW permit holder records. The FBI states that includes an on-site review of your concealed carry weapons permits. And Eric Schmidt says, let me make it perfectly clear, allowing federal agents from the FBI to have access to records of Missourians who have a permit to carry a concealed weapon violates Missouri law and infringes on our Second Amendment rights. And he promises to go to court if that's what's necessary to prevent this from happening. Where does this stand now?
Well, it's kind of this grudge match between the DOJ and the state of Missouri. This is not happening just in a vacuum. DOJ and the White House is livid with Missouri because we passed SAPA legislation last year. And we have told the feds that we're not going to let you use our law enforcement resources to enforce your federal gun control agenda. Now, magically, a couple months later, while we're still in the court process on this, they want to come into Missouri and just randomly go through our concealed carry records. I think that Schmidt's doing the right thing by telling the FBI to pound sand. And we're going to have to wait and see what happens now. It's kind of this grudge match between Missouri and the DOJ. But this is what we need to see from Republicans, from pro-gun legislators at all levels of government going forward. We cannot sit back and be passively pro-gun anymore. The stakes are high. The radical left is not hiding their intentions anymore. And again, this is kind of what we need to see from pro-gun lawmakers, or in this case, an attorney general going forward. Yeah. An aggressive fight to defend our freedoms.
Amen.
And really, there's only so much they can do with CCW permit holders, because since we are a constitutional state, there's a lot of people that do conceal carry that don't have that permit. I guess they could maybe find the records of gun purchases. So it's kind of a moot argument, in my opinion. I know it's a different state, but I did want to bring this up and wondered if we had any sheriffs in any county in Missouri that are maybe going to do what the North Carolina county is doing. Madison County in North Carolina. Mark, do you know about this story?
I do not.
Okay. Sheriff's office decided to put an assault style rifle in each of the county's six schools as a safety measure in light of the Robb Elementary School shooting in Uvalde, Texas. And this is for the resource officer, obviously. But, there's other counties that are, trying to push for some teachers. If you want to get, trained, that you could be trained on the chance that, God forbid, something like this happens. Again, it's so rare. When you think about the numbers, it's so rare. It's horrible every time a school shooting happens. But, Aaron, do you know anybody or any sheriffs in Missouri that are trying to do this as well?
I'm not aware of it happening right now on an individual or personal basis. I do know that the Sheriff's Association, as you guys probably know, have politically been very much against our gun rights in Jeff City over the years. But individually, a large number of sheriffs are obviously very pro-gun in that capacity. This would be a great thing to see. I mean, we protect all kinds of institutions around the state and around the nation with firearms. And for schools to be basically targets for these madmen, it's insanity. So it'd be a great thing to see going forward, and we hope it moves forward fast.
Yeah. Let's hope they consider that. These schools spend, in my opinion, far too much money on trivial things, and when you ask them to, buck up to have extra resource officers in the schools, and that's going to be in the school budget and not the police department budget, then they balk and say that's too expensive. What price do you put on the safety of our children?
Well, exactly. And like I said, when we see the Sheriff's Association lobbyists in the Capitol lobbying against the Second Amendment so many days in a row during session in Jeff City, that is the ultimate question. Like, you weren't elected to set statewide policy. You were elected to keep your county safe. And yes, we have a growing number of madmen who want to kill our children, kill teachers, kill unarmed parents in these areas. Let's focus on your primary job. Keep us safe. Harden these schools up. You know, target harden our schools. Put real firepower in these schools to defend our kids, and leave the policy making to the folks who are elected to do that in Jefferson City.
Aaron Doerr is our guest, Missouri Firearms Coalition. I'm going to go back to my question from a few minutes ago. What can Americans do to let their voices be heard? Because most people don't know their representative. They don't know their politician. How do you learn? That's the toughest thing. When you're going through a paper and there's all these ads, anybody can put any words down. Aaron, what's your advice when it comes to the Second Amendment?
Well, when it comes to gun rights in Missouri, we are the voice for gun owners across the state. If you want to know who your legislator is, you know, get involved with our organization. If you want to know where they stand on gun rights, we'll tell our members that. If you want to know how they've answered our candidate surveys, we'll tell you that as well. We cut through that noise and cut through all the meaningless campaign ads and give our members a real look on where these candidates actually stand on gun rights.
Well, good. Awesome. What's the website, Aaron?
You bet. It's MissouriFirearmsCoalition.org.
MissouriFirearmsCoalition.org. Yeah, I hope people get involved and support what you guys are doing, because you're omnipresent up there in Jeff City during the legislative session, and I'm sure working ahead of that before January of this year to try to, you know, maybe figure out who what the landscape is. If they're going to take another run at SAPA,
those plans are well underway.
Yeah, exactly.
Those plans are well underway. And the big, you know, what happens a lot of times at the state level when it comes to state level gun rights organizations is that they make a lot of noise during session, but there's no follow through at election time. And what makes MOFC so different and so powerful and so potent is that we focus heavily on the elections every 2 years to make sure that our members know where these candidates stand, and whether it was Kathy Swan or David Cole or Jack Bonden from 2 years ago, or it's the Eric Greitens and the Bill Whites and all these kind of people this cycle, the word's getting out. Again, in Missouri, you're going to be held accountable for your votes. So if you say you're pro-gun at election time and you don't vote pro-gun in Jeff City, you will pay a price every 2 years. Our members ensure that.
Aaron Doerr, MissouriFirearmsCoalition.org online. I hope people sign up there and get alerts from you and help out your efforts down in Jeff City. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good day.
Yeah. Great.
Keep up the good work.
Great getting you on here and talking about these important issues. It's going to be important in November, too. I mean, I know we're looking at the big Senate race on the Missouri side of the river. Obviously, the governor's race is going to be key over in Illinois, where they're always trying to restrict your Second Amendment rights. Maybe we need to get Darren Bailey on here, who's running for governor over there, and talk to him about it. I mean, I've not had a conversation with him about where he stands on a lot of these issues, but here's the problem in Illinois, and Annie Fry, I had her on my show this past week, who lives in Illinois, covers a lot of Illinois politics. You know, she brought this up to me, that it after Bruce Rauner, it's not clear what a Republican is in Illinois, because he wasn't a very strong Republican when he was in office. And she's pushing back on the theory that that's what it takes to get elected. Darren Bailey, to the best of my knowledge, is a strong conservative, and I'd love to get him on here talking about that. So
I love that. You know what? We should extend that invitation to any side of the aisle about it, because we need to have the conversation, Mark. That's the whole thing.
We do, indeed. Absolutely. That's Bo Matthews. I'm Mark Cox. Carl Middleman, our producer here. Thanks for listening to this week's edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. We'll see you around next weekend.
See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.